It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. The U.S. Postal Service says it might have to raise the price of a stamp to nearly a dollar and significantly scale back services next year without action from Congress.
Postmaster General David Steiner recently testified before the U.S. House of Representatives. He said if Congress doesn't raise the post office's borrowing limit, quote, it could lead to the end of the Postal Service as we know it now.
Later, we'll talk to an economist about the future of the Postal Service. First, a community in Wisconsin has been facing severe mail delays for months.
Last week, U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin wrote a letter to the Postmaster General urging him to look into the situation in Brown Deer. That's a suburb of Milwaukee with a population of more than 12,000 residents.
Wanda Montgomery is the village president of Brown Deer in Milwaukee County. Wanda, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Now, we've seen reporting your mail delivery problem there in Brown Deer goes back at least to December, some problems with some route changes. Here we are in April, and I guess the problem isn't resolved yet. What are you still seeing there in that community when it comes to mail?
So you're correct. We're still seeing problems, and we hear from residents every week. What we're finding is that it seems like it's shifting around throughout the village. You know, some areas the mail may be on time, the packages are on time, and then it seems like it's shifting to another area. So many of our residents now have become aware of informed delivery, so they can check or get that email every day that lets them know what they should expect. And when they don't get that mail, they know that it's missing, at least for that day. Well, in some cases, it's going on for a whole week, and they're reaching out to not only the post office here in the village, but also there's a distribution site in Brown Deer on Bradley Road. They're checking both places to find out where is the mail. Is it on the route with the driver? Is it there? Where is it? It shows up eventually, but there may be time-sensitive items there that they get too late to really act upon it. So it's still happening. It's gotten somewhat better, but not completely resolved.
What are some of the impacts you're hearing from people, especially with that time-sensitive thing? I guess things like maybe, oh, I don't know, tax time or prescription medications. Are you hearing people getting delayed on crucial stuff like that?
Yes. And even packages that they've ordered, things that they know, you know, because Amazon actually uses the post office too for some of their deliveries. But I can tell you from my own personal experience, when this first occurred, my husband gets much of his medication through the mail. And although we saw it in the informed delivery, he was not getting it. And when we did meet with the post office officials back in early February, I believe it was, they assured us that we would get our mail and our delivery that weekend. So they called in reinforcements. And I know personally, because I have a Ring camera, on that particular Sunday, we got mail delivered to our box 3 times on that Sunday. So he did get his medication. Our delivery has improved a little bit, but there still are. There may be a day that we don't get it, but then the next day we do. We know who our carrier is, but on some routes it's changed. And so you get to, you know, people trying to get familiar with your route, or they're covering too. So they may cover their route initially and then cover that backlog from another route toward the end of that day.
Now, Brown Deer, you'd had a reduction of mail routes last year from 23 to 17. Is that part of the story, do you think? Is that part of why they're maybe stretched thin?
I absolutely believe that's why. And what we were told, the assessment of the route usage or activity was done, I believe, back in the summer. Well, in the summer, you have better weather. You may not have as much mail coming out because in the winter, you got your holidays and you got annual premiums or insurance bills that may come out. You have your tax information. You got your tax bills from the village and other municipalities. But when they did the assessment, I think it was at a different time. But they went ahead and implemented anyway. I still don't understand why we would be reduced in our routes, especially because in the last few years, we've added a multi-unit facilities in Brown Deer. I mean, huge, that are adding 160, 180 units. So we're adding to the population and not reducing it.
As we wrap up, this is a local issue for you, but it's part of a national story, and you were cited in Brown Deer by Senator Tammy Baldwin in a letter to the Postmaster General. What is the message you want members of Congress and the Postmaster General to hear?
I want them to know that anyone in the United States of America has always relied on our U.S. Postal Service. You know, growing up, you thought you were going to get your mail rain, sun, sleet, or snow. You were going to get your mail. That now, you cannot count on it. And that's unfortunate when you have something that you have always relied on that no longer is reliable and is such an integral part of our daily lives. It's important. And I understand that you have the electronic versions. You can do a lot of things via the internet, but so many of our residents and so many of our people across the country rely on communicating and sharing resources through the United States Postal Service.
Wanda, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
That was Wanda Montgomery, village president of Brown Deer in Milwaukee County, which has experienced major delays in mail delivery, prompting Senator Tammy Baldwin to write a letter to the U.S. Postmaster General last week. Now, when mail delivery is scaled back, it's often rural communities that experience the biggest impact. Donald Mastin is president of the National Rural Letter Carriers Association. Don, thanks for joining us.
Well, I'm happy to be here.
What are some of the issues unique to rural postal carriers and postal workers in the U.S.?
We're unique to the communities that we serve, as the rural delivery was established in 1896, and the communities that are far away from the urban centers, where they rely on their rural carriers for everything from e-commerce, essential needs, you know, medications, ballots, legal documents, all of that. Communities really rely on their rural carriers to bring those to them on a daily basis. In many cases, the rural communities rely on the rural carrier to be the face of the Postal Service, and in some cases, they're the only person that the customers see in a day.
And then we've got ongoing financial concerns at the U.S. Postal Service with revenue and costs, a lot behind that. The Postmaster General recently warned Congress, hey, we might either have to raise the price of stamps a lot or scale back services. What kind of impact could that have on rural Postal Service users?
Well, you know, I watched very closely the testimony of the Postmaster General before Congress the other day. Some of the things that were mentioned, we certainly were not in favor of or had concerns specific to service reductions. They would have a disproportionate negative impact on rural America. If we're going to look at it as a postal business, not the United States Postal Service, which operates under the Universal Service Obligation, where everybody receives the same goods and services for the same price since rural free delivery was established in 1896, it would be very detrimental, and they could eliminate rural delivery altogether in some communities that rely heavily on their rural carriers.
And then finally, one of the unique things about rural routes is they can be longer, right? Because they're more sparsely populated areas. Weather then gets to be a factor. There can be county roads that are slower to get plowed. Given that, and given the situation of the Postal Service, do members of your Letter Carriers Association feel stretched thin on the job?
Well, hiring and retention has been a long problem for the Postal Service in general, but rural carriers specifically, they are feeling a little bit stretched thin. And with the increase in the parcel volumes that the carriers are dealing with, just in Wisconsin, we have close to 2,300 rural routes in Wisconsin, and they drive over 125,000 miles a day, and they're serving 1.2 million rural customers in Wisconsin every single day on delivering those boxes. And you're correct, they are on longer routes, oftentimes on gravel or dirt roads, and the winters that you have up there, they're harsh conditions. And many of our carriers drive their own vehicles or person-owned vehicles to deliver the mail. They're not all being delivered out of government-owned vehicles. So there's a lot to the rural route makeup, where they, we call it, it's a post office on wheels. You know, they sell goods and services and sell money orders and stamps and things of that nature. When the rural communities are pretty far away from an urban center, and you have veterans and the elderly and all those types of things that are benefit in these rural communities benefit. We like to say that the rural carriers are the fabric that knit these rural communities together, tie them in with the rest of the modern world. And that was the reason that Rural Free Delivery was started, so that all of America received the same products and mail service that they in the farms and the communities out in the country as they do in the city.
Don, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
That was Donald Mastin, president of the National Rural Letter Carriers Association. We've been talking about rural mail delivery and how changes to the Postal Service could affect rural carriers and residents. Now for a look at the U.S. Postal Service and what got us here, we have Elena Patel, co-director of the Urban Brookings Tax Policy Center and senior fellow in the Economic Studies Program at the Brookings Institution. Elena, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
We've been talking about concerns, financial concerns at the Postal Service for years, decades now. What are the main factors driving the post office as we have this conversation right now into this financial difficulty?
The Postal Service has had a slowly building problem since about 2008, and I think we're just at the apex of that right now, where they are not earning enough revenue from the delivery of letters to offset the cost of delivering mail to everybody everywhere 6 days a week at affordable prices. And so their business model is broken. And the crisis that's happening right now is related to a couple of things. One of them is retiree costs that the Postal Service doesn't control. Another is just the business model shifting and the rise of packages and global e-commerce. All of these things have come together. But the current crisis is they're going to run out of cash. That's what's driving the headlines right now. And in 12 months, they say they'll be out of cash.
A fundamental issue that our listeners bring up when we talk about the Postal Service is, hey, we expect the USPS to be self-financed, right? Revenue neutral or as close as possible. We don't expect that from a lot of federal government departments. Why do we treat the Postal Service this way?
It's a really good question. I think that idea that the Postal Service could be self-financed, that's actually an old idea, I will say. It was born in the 1970s. And in the 1970s, we didn't have the internet and we didn't have packages like we do today with e-commerce. And so the Postal Service was largely able to self-finance. And that was kind of like a free lunch for taxpayers, in that the Postal Service provides a public good. Again, it delivers to everybody everywhere at affordable rates, 6 days a week. It was able to do that because it could do that off of the revenues that came from delivering letters.
There's been talk for years, hey, do we need to cut services in some way? Or do we need to raise revenues in some way? What are the main options on the table?
There are several buckets of options. I think being aware of what the Postal Service's public mission is important to keep in mind. So while you could contemplate raising prices, and that's certainly one of the options the Postal Service is floating, it kind of goes in direct contrast to the thing that we're asking them to do, which is to keep mail affordable for everybody as a public infrastructure. I think other options could include Congress appropriating funds to cover the cost of the public good, which is the extra cost the Postal Service incurs to maintain this enormous delivery network. And so there are levers to pull. It's just a matter of Congress and the public deciding what we want the mission of the Postal Service to be.
Do you see a will in Congress to change things, to appropriate money or change the rules in ways that are going to help the Postal Service not make these kind of service cuts or fee increases?
You know, I think that a heartwarming thing to do is to tune in to some of the congressional hearings related to the Postal Service. And I think that listeners would be surprised if they tuned in to hear just how bipartisan these hearings are, in that everybody on the dais, all the representatives, senators too, they really are supporters of the Postal Service. And so where there's a will, there's a way. I think there's a lot going on right now in the world, and there are a lot of demands on Congress to solve a lot of problems. But this is one actually where there's a lot of agreement that the Postal Service is an important foundational institution. I think the question is whether there's a will in Congress to do the hard think right now, which really is to take up a new business model for the Postal Service, which we haven't done since 1970.
I want to talk a little more about the idea of the universal service obligation, right? Wherever you are in the country, pretty much, you can get your mail. if I was going to start a mail business in Wisconsin, I might say, great, I'll serve Madison and Milwaukee and points between. Right. There's lots of people there. There's maybe a chance of some revenue there. How big a hurdle is it for the Postal Service when it says, yeah, also, Rob, your business would have to be in rural Wisconsin and taking ferries to Madeline Island and things like that?
That's exactly right. Yeah, there's our estimates out there, including by the Postal Service and the Postal Regulatory Commission, that it costs them $7 billion a year to maintain the elements of the network that they otherwise wouldn't maintain, except that they're required to. And that's a long way of saying Amazon has incredibly efficient delivery networks in dense urban areas. They're relying on the Postal Service to do their last mile delivery in rural areas. And so is UPS and so is FedEx. And that's because it's not profitable for private companies to be delivering except in places where there are economies of scale. And so that means the Postal Service is not only doing the good for the American people by connecting us, it also is supporting private business by maintaining this network.
And you wrote an interesting piece. When I think of rural postal service, I think, hey, people rely on it maybe to get that prescription delivered, their tax bills, whatever, stay in contact with the world. You wrote a piece on rural economies and small businesses in rural areas. What is the impact of USPS there?
Yeah, I wrote a piece studying how being located close to a post office affects small businesses' ability to survive and thrive. And I think people think of the Postal Service as the carrier who delivers your letter, but for small businesses, they're also dropping off inputs. They're allowing small businesses to send out bills and contracts and things that need wet signatures in places where broadband connectivity is not as high as you might think it is. It's still 75-80%. And so in these places where grocery stores are closing down and banks are closing down and it's hard to find a pharmacy, the Postal Service is helping businesses and individuals stay connected to the economy.
So what are you watching for next as Congress and the Postmaster General and other stakeholders try to solve this financial concern?
Yeah, I'm trying to pay attention to what the Postal Service is actively asking for right now, which I think right now they're asking for help without giving Congress a lot of direction of what they need, because I think we're waiting to see if Congress right now is going to give them a Band-Aid or if they're really going to take up the hard work of rethinking this business model. And a Band-Aid could look something like raising the Postal Service's borrowing cap. The Postal Service doesn't have access to capital like private businesses who can issue shares or go to private capital markets. They can only borrow from the federal government, and they can only borrow $15 billion. And that limit was set in 1991. And for context, the Postal Service is an $80 billion a year operation. And so they're at their borrowing cap. So at a minimum, we could raise that to give them more cash flow. That's the crisis right now. But that doesn't solve the underlying fragility of the business model that really needs to be taken up.
Elena, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
That was Elena Patel, economist from the Brookings Institution. Earlier, we heard from Donald Mastin, president of the National Rural Letter Carriers Association, and Wanda Montgomery, village president of Brown Deer in Milwaukee County. We've been talking about the impacts of service reductions and mail delivery delays, especially for rural routes, after the U.S. Postmaster General warned Congress that the post office may be unable to deliver mail next year without legislative action.